Jayam Vishnupad Paramhansa Paripraja Kacharya Stotra Sita Sri Simad Bhakti Vidanta Swami Prabhupada Kijaya. ISKCON Samstapa Kacharya Srila Prabhupada Kijaya. Jayam Vishnupad Paramhansa Paripraja Kacharya Stotra Sita Sri Simad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Prabhupada Kijaya. Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath, Shamakunda Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadvip Tham Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21. Instructions by Maharaj Prithu. Text 14.
Tasmin
arhatsu
sarveshu
suarchiteshu yata
arhata
Uthita
Sadasa
Madhye Taranam Udurat Iva Tasmin Arhatsu Sarveshu Svarchiteshu Yatarhata Uthita Sadaso Madhye Taranam Udurad Iva Tasmin Arhatsu Sarveshu Svarchiteshu Yatarhata Uthita Sadaso Madhye Taranam Udurad Iva Tasmin Arhatsu Sarveshu Svarchiteshu Yatarhata Uthita Sadaso Madhye Taranam Udurad Iva
Sadaso Madhye
Taranam Udurad Iva tu sarveshu.
Adhyatsu sarveshu.
Svarchiteshu nikarhataha.
Svarchiteshu nikarhataha.
Mudita sarasho madje.
Mudita sarasho madje.
Dharam udarariva.
Dharam udarariva.
Tasmihatu sarveshu.
Tasmihatu sarveshu.
Vaishnavis. Tasmin, in that great meeting,
arhatsu,
of all those who are worshipable,
sarveshu,
all of them,
suarchiteshu,
being worshipped, according to their respective positions.
Yata arhata,
as they deserved. Uthita, stood up.
Sadasa,
amongst the assembly members. Madhye, within the midst. Taranam, of the stars. Udurat, the moon. Eva, like. Translation. In that great assembly, Maharaj Prithu first of all worshipped all the respectable visitors according to their respective positions. After this, he stood up in the midst of the assembly, and it appeared that the full moon had arisen amongst the stars. Please repeat. In that great assembly, Maharaj Prithu, first of all, worshipped all the respectable visitors according to their respective positions. After this, he stood up in the midst of the assembly, and it appeared that the full moon had arisen amongst the stars. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to the Vedic system, the reception of great exalted personalities, as arranged by Prithu Maharaj, in that great sacrificial arena is very important. The first procedure in receiving guests is to wash their feet. And it is learned from Vedic literature that one time when Maharaj Yudhisthira performed a Rajasuya Yajna, Krishna took charge of washing the feet of the visitors. Similarly, Maharaj Prithu also arranged for the proper reception of the demigods, the saintly sages, the brahmanas, and the great kings. Translation again. In that great assembly, Maharaj Prithu, first of all, worshipped all the respectable visitors according to their respective positions. After this, he stood up in the midst of the assembly, and it appeared that the full moon had arisen amongst the stars. So we are reading from the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about Maharaj Prithu. Maitreya Muni has extensively described the activities of Prithu Maharaj up to the point where the Supreme Lord Vishnu himself appeared before Prithu Maharaj. And he was so inclined to his devotee, Prithu Maharaj, that the Lord did not want to leave. He didn't want to leave his devotee. Of course, in the end he did, because he had to return to Vaikuntha. But he had so much affection for Prithu Maharaj. Even after hearing so many descriptions of Prithu Maharaj, Vidura asked Maitreya Muni to tell him more about Prithu Maharaj, because Prithu Maharaj is the ideal ruler, and for the sake of all other rulers, not just in the world, but in the universe, it is important to hear about the glories of Prithu Maharaj. In one purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that unless one hears the glories of Prithu Maharaj, he cannot rule properly. And what is the condition of the world today? Who among the leaders is hearing the glories of King Prithu? George Bush? Tony Blair? Or, well, we don't even need to pollute this august assembly by mentioning their names and thinking of them. None of them. And therefore, they are unable to govern properly. And thus, the world is in chaos, and people are suffering. Of course, devotees see the good in every situation, and often when people suffer, they become more open to Krishna consciousness. One of our god brothers, who's very intelligent and astute, commented that he thought people now were more ready for Krishna consciousness than ever before in his experience. He thought it could be like the 60s and 70s, because he said during the Reagan administration, people were sort of happy. I guess he was sort of a father figure that they could respect. And during the Clinton administration, people were happy. The economy was booming, and people were hopeful about the future. But now, people are really disgusted with the state of affairs in the world, and that's actually making them more open to Krishna consciousness. So the devotees see the opportunity to serve the Lord in every situation, even when externally the situation appears bad. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita says that actually in the material world there is no such thing as good or bad. Good and bad are just mental concoctions. The fact is that everything in the world is bad. And everything in Krishna consciousness is good. But to distinguish in the material world that this is good and this is bad is just mental concoction. Prabhupada used to give the example of wet stool and dry stool, that someone might distinguish, oh, that's wet stool, we don't like that. Oh, that's dry, that's much better. But after all, stool is stool. I mean, what's the big deal if it's wet or dry? So in the same way, that the material world is basically that. And so we might distinguish this is better and this is worse, but actually it's all bad. The only good thing is Krishna consciousness. And that was the great example of Prithu Maharaj. Although one can see all of the wonderful things he did as ruler, but the essence of his character, what drove him as a person, if you will, was the desire to serve and please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this chapter is called Instructions by Maharaj Prithu. We're just reading the introduction to the chapter. And in a few days from now, a few verses from now, we'll come to Prithu Maharaj's actual instructions. And they come eventually to the point of devotional service, which is, it's the essence of life, and it's the exclusive subject of Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service. Activities done for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But here, and Prabhupada said this is very important, the reception of great exalted personalities as arranged by Prithu Maharaj in that great sacrificial arena is very important. Srila Prabhupada emphasized the reception of guests as part of Vedic culture and as part of our mission. Prabhupada had one friend in Pune, Mr. Malhotra. He's a very good man, very intelligent, very pious, very helpful. And in the 1970s, he visited the United States. And in those days, it wasn't so common for Indians to come to America or Americans to go to India. And, you know, he loved Prabhupada. He loved the devotees. He loved the movement. And he came back, and he had just wonderful reports about all the temples that he visited. But he said the one thing they have to learn better is how to receive guests. And Srila Prabhupada explained the standard And we may not be able to do everything, but he did explain the standard. And ideally, when the guests come, you receive him or her. Offer them a nice place to sit. Offer them prasadam and offer them sweet words of welcome. At one stage, Srila Prabhupada said that we should always have prasad ready to serve 20 people, full prasad. That whoever comes to the temple should get full prasad. He said, Krishna is not a poor man. He can afford. So, of course, at least there should be prasad in the temple room when they come for darshan of the deities. There's so many items to offer guests. I know in Juhu he said there should always be Charinamrita and prasad for the visitors who come for darshan of the deities. But otherwise, you receive them, you offer them a nice place to sit, you offer them water to drink, you offer them prasad, and you offer them sweet words. And if someone is poor, which we're not in America, New Dwarka, most opulent kingdom of God. but even then, at least you offer them a place to sit, at least a mat on the floor, and sweet words. Sweet words means that with great humility and affection, you apologize. That I'm. Of course, water could also, pretty much everyone can offer water, but you apologize. I'm so sorry. I have so little to offer you. Please accept this humble place to sit. Please accept this water. I'm sorry I can't offer you more. That's very important because ultimately we want people to receive the message of Krishna consciousness. But before they receive the message of Krishna consciousness, we have to receive them so that they want to stay and their hearts are open to the message of Krishna consciousness. And that's the example of Prithu Maharaj. He had very important things to say, but before he began to speak, he properly received all the guests. And it wasn't just that he wanted to make them favorable. I mean, that's true. But it was that he had, genuine humility and respect for them. As it is said, that they were worshipable. They're worshipable. And why were they worshipable? Demigods, they're worshipable. Sages are worshipable. Brahmins are worshipable. Kings are worshipable. And any Vaishnava is worshipable. Above all. So, it was out of genuine humility and a desire to receive them nicely and please them and also get their mercy that he took such care. And as he explains later in his instructions, when someone does something good, those who support him share in the credit. Just like if someone does something bad, those who support the nefarious activity, they also share in the blame or guilt. And if someone does good, those who support him share in the credit. So he appealed to the assembly that please support me in my service to God, my service as a ruler for the pleasure of God. And you'll also share in the benefit. You'll also share in the benefit. And the fact that he was like the moon among the stars, in fact, he was the moon among the stars because he was so humble, because he was in that mood of service. Not like, hey, look, I'm the moon here. You guys are the stars. You worship me. You see, I'm the moon. You're just the stars. But it was the opposite. Because he was in the mood of serving everyone, he was the moon because of the mood of service. There's one incident in Mayapur where one devotee had come to Srila Prabhupada to complain about the management. And he went through the various items where he felt that the management was defective. And after the meeting, the devotee came out, and like he announced to everyone that, Prabhupada put me in charge. I'm the temple commander. In the early conception, temple commander was quite an important position. In India, they have like the temple commander, mud commander. He's like in charge. So he started bossing everyone around. You know, Prabhupada said, I'm in charge, and, you have to do this, you have to do that. We don't know exactly what Prabhupada said, but maybe he said, if you can do better, why don't you do it? Something like that. But he came out with that, like Prabhupada said, I'm in charge. He started bossing everyone around. So devotees told Prabhupada what was going on, and Prabhupada called the young man back in, and he said, you're telling everyone you're the temple commander? Commander, like commander-in-chief. Then Prabhupada said, first you become the servant of everyone, then you become the temple commander. So that's the principle. Srila Prabhupada, of course, it didn't end up quite like that, but when the devotees were building the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, and they wanted to establish the Guru Gauranga altar like we have here, it was the first in ISKCON in Vrindavan. So they asked Srila Prabhupada about the Murti, the deity of him. And he said that the deity should be in this pose with his hands folded. And he said, the reason is because I'm the servant of everyone. So that's the mood. And that was Pritha Maharaj's mood. And that made him rise like the moon. But not only Prithu Maharaj, who's an empowered incarnation and a great devotee, even Krishna himself, this is on the subject of washing feet in particular, Krishna himself at the Rajasuya Yajna, he took the service of washing the feet of all the guests. To show the importance of that function, to show that the importance of that function. When you receive a superior like that, he becomes very inclined towards you. Of course, anything offered with love and devotion. I think of one case where Srila Prabhupada was staying in a life member's house in the Juhu scheme. This was when the Juhu land was embroiled in so many legal complications and political intrigues. So there was no place where Prabhupada could actually stay on the land. So Mr. Sethi, Prabhupada's dear friend and staunch devotee, he was building a house near the temple and was called the Juhu Scheme, but it wasn't completed yet. He invited Prabhupada to stay there. So Prabhupada was upstairs on the second floor, and he was in the room, his room, like we see his room upstairs. Wherever he went, he'd have like an asan and a low table where he would sit. He said, whenever you go to a new place, you have to have a clean place where you can sit and think and work. So Prabhupada was discussing with some of his leaders, and there was a lot to discuss with the Juhu struggle. And suddenly we could say Sudra, a laborer. And he had very, it was India, so you could tell. He was wearing just like a little, like a gumsha, like just like a little piece of cloth. And that was about it. You know, you could see he was like muscular from doing labor. And so he came in. I don't know how he knew that Prabhupada was in the house. He came into the house, came up the stairs, walked into the room while Prabhupada was meeting with his leaders, maybe some important guests and life members. He came up to Srila Prabhupada. He put a handful of flowers at Srila Prabhupada's feet and offered his obeisances, put his head in obeisances, and just conveyed his respects to Prabhupada, got up, and walked out. And Prabhupada was so moved by that, like he couldn't speak. He was just so moved by that. And then finally, when he did speak, all he could talk about was that man. That how did he know Prabhupada was there? How did he get that idea? Such a humble person. I mean, from such a humble position in society, bringing an offering of flowers and paying respects. And then he quoted that verse, Patram Pushpam Phalam Tayam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati, that if one offers with love and devotion a leaf, a fruit, a flower, or some water with love and devotion, Krishna will accept it. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada said, what to speak of me? I'm just a tiny living entity. Even Krishna is moved by a small offering. So, anyway, Krishna, it's like, nothing's automatic. Nothing's automatic. I mean, yes, by nature, Krishna's merciful. By nature, Vaishnavas are merciful. They want to give mercy. But when we deal with them in, you know, with respect, with affection, with appreciation, then they're more inclined to give what they have to share with you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Varanasi, Banaras, Varanasi is a big seat of impersonalists, Mayavadis. And the leader of the Mayavadis at the time was named Prakashananda Saraswati. He's a very learned scholar in Sanskrit, and he had thousands of followers. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Varanasi, and as usual, he was doing Harinam Sankirtan, chanting and dancing in ecstasy, and people were attracted to him, and they would follow him, and they would also chant and dance in Harinam Sankirtan. So Prakashananda Saraswati, you know how it is, people, they want to know what a great person thinks of others. Like we'd ask Prabhupada, what about this one, what about that one? So some followers or admirers ask Prakashananda Saraswati, what about this Chaitanya? And Prakashananda Saraswati said, oh, he's just a sentimentalist, just singing and dancing. This is not for us. We are students of Vedanta. He's a sannyasi. He should be studying Vedanta. He shouldn't be mixing with the common people on the street and singing and dancing like a sentimentalist. So one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees heard that. And he came to Mahaprabhu and told him what Prakashananda Saraswati had said. And Prabhupada comments that this devotee, he was a pure devotee because he couldn't tolerate hearing anything said against Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he didn't have the knowledge to argue with him. So he just came and reported the incident. So later, there was an assembly of all the sannyasis of Varanasi. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, but he didn't like mix with all the big Mayavadi sannyasis. He posted himself near the entrance, and he sort of, you could say, removed, he received the guests, he would remove their shoes and keep their shoes in order. And when Prakashananda Saraswati, who was the leader, saw that in Krishna Chaitanya, he was moved. He's taking such a humble position. He's a sannyasi. Actually, he thought that he might have been feeling discouraged, so he wasn't mixing with the others. But whatever it was, it awakened some sort of affection in him towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his bodily effulgence is the Brahma Jyoti, which is the goal of the impersonalists. So he allowed Prakashananda Saraswati to see his effulgence, and that really attracted him. It really attracted him. So he came over to Mahaprabhu. He said, please, you come and join us. It said that one who is, what is it? One who thinks himself exalted will be humbled, and one who is humble will be exalted. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took such a humble position that Prakashananda Saraswati approached him personally and requested him, please come, don't sit here at the entrance with the shoes. You come and be with us. And then, by that humble behavior of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, Prakashananda Saraswati became open to his message. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke the truth, that this impersonal interpretation of Vedanta is all nonsense. And in the end, Prakashananda Saraswati and all his disciples became Vaishnavas. One of our devotees did some research It was interesting in the movie last night, the DVD, how this one devotee had been interested in history, and he had trouble believing the idea that previously the whole world was under the Vedic civilization. When, you know, it was like disturbing his faith, because Prabhupada said, you know, previously the whole world was Vedic, and the person just couldn't accept it. So he didn't say anything, but on his own he did his research. And as he went deeper and deeper into the history, he found that there were so many parallels between Vedic culture and what was going on in the British Isles hundreds and maybe thousands of years ago. And then he was convinced that what Prabhupada said was true. So one devotee, he did some research about Prakashananda Saraswati, and he found that there is a mention of him in the historical record, that he was the leader of the Mayavadi sannyasis. Mayavadi means you have to become sannyasi, ultimately. If you want to realize God, you have to take sannyas. And that he had a conversion. He had a change of heart. But he still, this was a point that was very interesting to that devotee. He still remained the leader of his followers, but he was just different. He didn't like join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement in a direct way, but he was a devotee, but he still maintained his position. You know, it'd be as if, of course, the Pope is theistic, but it would be as if the Pope became a devotee. He could still stay the Pope, but he'd be a devotee, and it would affect the way he dealt with his followers, but he'd still remain the Pope. So that was what happened with Prakashananda Saraswati. So that humble service, you know, that attracts people, and especially when you receive them nicely, it makes them very open to you. And then you can impress Krishna consciousness upon them. Or if they're in that position where you want to hear from them, it makes them open, it makes them inclined to share their knowledge with you. And this is the technique that Prabhupada used. All of our acharyas, spoken by Prabodhananda Saraswati, not to be mistaken for Prakashananda Saraswati. But Prabodhananda Saraswati was a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, Dante nidaya chinakam padayor nipatya. He says, I take a straw in my teeth. Like if you want to present yourself in a humble way, you would like take a straw from the street and put it in your mouth. It's like a symbol of great humility. Dante nidaya chinakam padayor nipatya. And I fall down at your feet. And I praise you hundreds of times. Now, Prabhupada explains that when you approach someone with humility and appreciate them, they will, well, I guess it's sort of human nature, that if someone appreciates you, you think, oh, this person is actually very perceptive. This person actually recognizes my worth. And it's not false either, because every soul is part and parcel of Krishna. Every soul has great value. But the person will think, oh, this person's very intelligent, this person's very perceptive, this person recognizes me. Maybe I should hear what he has to say. And then when that person is so ready to hear, then hey sadhava, like, oh, noble soul, hey sadhava, sakala eva vihaya durad, whatever you have learned, because he's already said how learned and influential and great the person is, whatever you have learned, kindly forget it. Chaitanya Chandra Charane Kurutanuraga, and just surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And that is our method. Prabhupada often quoted the verse, and he used the method that you approach people with great humility, you flatter them 100 times, and then when they're eager, yes, yes, what is it? What is it that you want? What is it that you want to say? Forget all that nonsense you've learned and just surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada used that approach in one meeting in Bombay. It was like really a very aristocratic meeting. Prabhupada was staying in Saxaria Bhavan. The Saxarias are one of the leading industrial families of Bombay. And so they had this big building, 5-story building on Marine Drive by the ocean. And so they invited all the top people of Bombay, all the people in their circle. And on the terrace of Saxaria Bhavan, like made a stage for Prabhupada. It was so glamorous, and it was all lit up in under the starry night of the Bombay sky. And in those days, people had more culture. A lot of them came wearing white, very finely pressed white dhotis and kurtas with jeweled studs, and of course the women with their silk saris and gold bangles and. It was like a really, like demigods. They were like the demigods of India. And Prabhupada spoke, and at the end, he actually quoted this verse of Prabhudananda Sarasvati, and then he said that, you know, I'm taking the straw in my teeth, speaking to these leaders of Bombay, and I'm begging you, you know, please chant Hare Krishna. Please chant Hare Krishna. He said it with such utter humility. And they were just touched, you know, because big people, they tend to be puffed up, and, you know, it's sort of hard to get through to them. But they were so touched by Prabhupada's humility. And they actually chanted. Then Prabhupada started kirtan, and the devotees went out amongst them and, come on, stand up, dance. And they were like so melted by Prabhupada's humility that they got up and they chanted and danced. So it's like I don't even know what to say. I haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg of the depth of this pastime, but just a few thoughts within our allotted quota of time.
There's an easy way to remedy that, Maharaj. You could just stay for the week.
I feel like it. That's an idea. Maybe not this week, but yeah, to stay longer. It's like a mine of jewels. Like, you have to go in there and mine all those jewels out of it. Is today Srivas Thakur's appearance day? Maybe I'll just say a few minutes.
The disappearance of
His Holiness Sridhar Swami. Well, today is the appearance day of Srivas Thakur. I'll just be very brief. He is one of the five Panchatattva we sing every day, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivas, Adigaur, Bhakta Vrinda. Also, Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam, Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam, Bhakta Avatara, Bhakta Kyam, Namami, Bhakta Shaktikam. So, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, the original personality of Godhead. Lord Nityananda is his first expansion. Advaita is his incarnation. Gadadhar is his bhakti shakti, his pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani. And Srivas Thakur is the devotee. He's actually an incarnation of Narada Muni. And in Chaitanya Lila, he was an elder, and he had his place just down the road from the home of Jagannath Misra and Sachi, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken birth. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, well, when he was young, he and Nitai used to go to Srivas Thakur's house and they would play. The society was very open then, like all the children. They just go to the neighbor houses and all the neighbors would treat them like their own children. But then when he became a little older and began the Sankirtan movement, he and his most confidential devotees would meet at Srivas Thakur's house, Srivas Angan, and have kirtan. And the kirtan was like the highest ecstasy. In fact, the kirtans at Srivas Angan are compared to the, in Gaur Lila, are compared to the rasa dance in Krishna Lila. So every night the devotees would come and they would do kirtan for hours. They wouldn't think of eating or sleeping. They would just chant and dance in ecstasy. But sometimes people became envious because they were excluded. So one of them, to sort of take revenge because he was denied entry, he placed the various paraphernalia of worship for Durga at the doorstep of Srivas Thakur, like, in, sort of like very early in the morning. And because Shaktas, you know, the worshippers of Durga, of course, philosophically, they're not proper, according to Vaishnava Siddhanta. But even in terms of their habits, they tend to drink and eat meat and things like that. So this person who felt resentful because he was denied entry, he put the paraphernalia for worship of Durga on the doorsteps of Srivas Thakur's house. And then in the morning, he came as if he had discovered the paraphernalia and started to, like, make a big noise that, come, calling all the townspeople, come and see. Srivas Thakur is actually a Shakta. He's, you know, underneath his pretense of being a Vaishnava, he's actually a Shakta. And there's the evidence. So Srivas Thakur came out and, you know, just see the humility of a Vaishnava. He said, yes, what this man says is true. I'm actually a Shakta. I'm not a Vaishnava. And now that you've discovered me, you can punish me as you like. And of course, by his humble behavior, it was clear he was a Vaishnava. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and intervened, and then that offensive person, I think he got leprosy or something. But then in the end, he also surrendered to Mahaprabhu and got delivered. But that was Srivast Thakur. Another time, during the kirtan, Srivast Thakur's son died. And the mother started to cry. So Srivast Thakur came to her and said, "What is the matter with you? You keep quiet. We're having kirtan." She said, "Our son has died." "It doesn't matter. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is having his Prem Sankirtan. You keep quiet." And they didn't want to disturb Mahaprabhu in the kirtan, so they did kirtan throughout the night. And then in the morning, you know, by Krishna's arrangement, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, he came to know that, you know, Srivast Thakur's son had left his body. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu allowed the boy to come back to life. And then the boy preached Vedic knowledge, and like, you know, this is the perfection, you're doing Harinam Sankirtan and the soul is eternal. I'm just going to another place to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then left. And Narada Muni, of course, he travels throughout the universe. Once he was cursed, because the Daksha, he had, I think, 100 sons called the Prachetas. And Narada Muni instructed them that they should renounce worldly life and dedicate themselves to devotional service, to Krishna consciousness. But Daksha wanted them, you know, he's one of the progenitors, he wanted to populate the universe, he wanted them to marry and procreate and have important positions in the universe. So he was upset with Narada for instructing them in renunciation and devotional service. And that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. He came to teach renunciation and devotional service to himself. So he cursed Narada Muni that he cannot stay for more than 3 days in any one place. And Srila Prabhupada comments that we, as followers of Narada Muni, we have taken on the same curse. And Prabhupada said, even though I have all these beautiful places to stay all over the world, because of the curse of Daksha, I can't stay. I have to keep traveling. And he suggests that his disciples similarly are inheriting the same curse. So we also have to keep traveling and preaching. So it's appropriate for many reasons, but this is one reason why it's appropriate that His Holiness Sridhar Swami left on this day, because he also shared in that blessed curse, not to be able to stay in one place, but to travel all over the world, preach Krishna consciousness. Of course, we miss him. We miss him. He was a very friendly person. He used to come here. He'd go everywhere. A very friendly person, very jovial. Some of our friends in Bombay, very aristocratic people, they gave him the nickname the Jolly Swami. And that stuck. Because he really was jolly, even up to the end. And it wasn't artificial. It was because he actually realized he wasn't this body, and he knew he was going to be with Prabhupada. So even up to the end, he was joking. But it wasn't like, you know, some people, like nervous laughter, some people joke because they actually are afraid or worried. But he was actually very jolly, based on Krishna consciousness. And he was like a man of the people, like Dira Dira Jana Priya Priya Karo. The six Goswamis, they were friends of the gentle and the ruffians. Dira. Dira means sober. Diras tatra namuyate. One who knows that he's not the body, who's not bewildered by the change of body that we call death, he's dira. And adira means the opposite. He identifies with the body. He's intoxicated by the body, intoxicated by material life. Rough. Prabhupada translates him gentle and rough. And Sridhar Swami was like that. He was dear to everyone. He was dear to everyone. He would, like at Rath Yatras, or whatever the occasion, he'd be out there. It didn't matter, like, if they were Hell's Angels or what. Really, there are some stories how he'd go and mix with the Hell's Angels and make friends with them. And he was also, you know, very dear to so many of the aristocratic people in Bombay especially, where he was based. And but he did give one instruction that I think became very prominent in his last years based on his realizations. And that is that he felt that ISKCON should have more heart. That ISKCON lacked heart. And he said, unless ISKCON has more heart, it can't be successful. In other words, we have rules and regulations, and we must follow them. And we have our mission, Prabhupada's mission. We must pursue it. But we also have to have heart. We have to be able to deal on a personal basis with people, with devotees, with everyone. And because he had so much heart, he was able to touch other people's hearts. It's like one philosopher said, if you speak from your heart, it will enter people's hearts. If you speak with your mouth, it will enter other people's ears and stop there. So he would really speak from his heart. He would act from his heart and speak from his heart. And he touched people's hearts. At the end, he had his two brothers. They came to India to be with him. They weren't devotees. And they, you know, their habits were like many people in American Canada, eating things and imbibing things. But because he was so heartfelt, and the devotees were so heartfelt in their appreciation and affection for him, they were just transformed by being with him in Mayapur and seeing all the exchange of love. And I think they shaved up and really got into Krishna consciousness. He was really like that. He In his effort to cure himself, because he had hepatitis C, which is, I know that's not. So he went to Brazil, because there are these mystic healers in Brazil, and he went to one who was very famous and very successful. And he would, you know, there'd be long lines of people, there'd be like a hall, and one after the other they'd come up to him, and he would heal them. The explanation is that he was in touch with these subtle beings who knew how to heal people anyway. And sometimes he'd talk to them. He'd, you know, after he healed them, they'd still have to, even though the operation, if you will, was done by subtle means, there was no scissors, you know, scalpels, but it was a real operation, and you had to recuperate afterwards. So he'd visit the patients when they were recuperating at his staff. And he was a bit of a mystical person. And so he was talking about past lives. And so he asked Sridhar Swami what he was in his past life. And Sridhar Swami said, a worm in stool. And like everyone cracked up. And like the mystic healer, it's like he's very, you know, respected and worshipped. He's curing people. And it's like everyone cracked up and started laughing. So then Sridhar Swami, you know, being a humble Vaishnav, soft-hearted Vaishnav, he felt bad that he'd embarrassed the person. So he went back to him and said, I'm sorry I gave that answer. I wasn't meaning to make fun of your question, but that's just how, that was the only answer I could give, you know. Couldn't think of any other answer. And the healer said, that's all right. You gave the right answer. That's all right. Very good like that. So, you know, we miss him. He's no longer with us in his manifest presence. But like many others of our departed God brothers, he's active. He's active in his own way. I received a letter about 3 months ago from a devotee in Bombay who's never initiated. He was actually aspiring to take initiation from Tamal Krishna Goswami way back in 1978, just after Prabhupada left. But he was a doctor, a very qualified person, but he just never got initiated. And Sridhar Swami appeared in his dream just a few months ago. He'd gone on pilgrimage to Tirupati, this doctor. And while he was in Tirupati, he had this dream that Sridhar Swami came to him and told him to chant better. And I guess, you know, being in Tirupati and being in a more spiritual mood, he took it to heart, and he took it as real. I also take it as real. So we miss his, you know, friendship and companionship and heart and jovial nature and Krishna consciousness and dedication to Prabhupada. But we have his example, we have his memories, we have his instructions. And so many devotees, I was so moved, because it was almost like, yeah, it's just, I had gone to the Laguna Beach Festival that year, and after the festival, it was unbelievable, after the festival, I was just getting into the car to leave, and a phone, my cell phone rang, and it was Sridhar Swami's servant, Mayapur Das. He gave me the news. So that was Saturday. I was with Indradumya Swami. So Maharaj said we should have a memorial program Sunday, which we did in Laguna Beach. And then I came here Monday morning for the program here. And the talks were so heartfelt. I remember Amarendra Prabhu you had been in Mayapur. You also spoke beautifully. And I'm just remembering Amarendra Prabhu saying how he met Sridhar Swami on the hallway, like the balcony, and like Sridhar Swami gave him this like really warm embrace for a real long time. And like he knew, like this was it, this was his farewell from Maharaj, but it was like so heartfelt. Just that embrace, long, deep embrace. And I think he mentioned that Sridhar Swami had told him to forgive. That is a big thing for everyone. And even among the society of devotees, we have to learn to forgive. He told him, forgive, just let it all go, just forgive. Once when Maharaj was at my place in Carpinteria, this subject of forgiveness came up. It's a very important. We have to really learn to forgive. And I had had a little experience of my own of sort of like universal forgiveness. And everyone who had ever done anything to me, just within my heart, I forgave them all, except for one person. So I mentioned it to Tamal Krishna Goswami. And, you know, Vaishnavs, they're all glorious, but they have different natures. So Tamal Krishna Goswami said, well, you shouldn't forgive him. He said, you can forgive the others because they've stopped. But he hasn't stopped, so you can't forgive him yet. So I mentioned that to Sridhar Swami, but he disagreed. He said, he said, no, you have to forgive everyone, you know. It was like, if you don't forgive others, how can you expect God to forgive you? You know, you have to forgive everyone. So I think that was also an important instruction of his. Anyway, I mean, the class was the tip of the iceberg. This isn't even the tip of the tip of the tip. But you've all been very gracious and patient, and I know you have a lot of service to do for Srila Prabhupada and his mission. So we'll end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj ki jai. Srivas Thakur ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
Oh, you're here. I can't have moved this earlier.